splendor. Jesus is the Father's joy. He will return to reign in majesty, and every eye and mouth shall see that Jesus is our God. We will glorify, we will lift Him high, we will give Him honor and praise. We will glorify, we will lift Him high, we will give Him honor and praise.
I'm in charge of the microphone this evening.
Okay, welcome everybody to this evening's service. Is the volume okay? Yes, at the end of the service, obviously, there will still be tea and coffee. Nathan's topic this evening is about being lethargic, if you like, I think, is the word, is it? I looked up, tried to find some songs that basically sum that up, but found none at all. So the songs that I've chosen this evening are basically all designed to sort of illustrate why we shouldn't be lethargic in our worship. I'd like to start with reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 16. I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honour the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. And let's pray. Lord, we pray, and we thank you for bringing us here this evening, Lord, to praise, worship you, and to listen to Nathan speak to us, Lord. And we pray that we will be encouraged by what Nathan says, and we will gather here full of enthusiasm to spread the word and to live the way you want us to live, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. So we're going to begin with an old hymn. Oh, radical. Immortal, invisible. Anymore. So
we will, with no further ado, let's all stand and sing Immortal, Invisible.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, enlightened, accessible, in from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious.
A more up-to-date one, and then following that we'll sing Jesus as King.
Love of God, He paid our debt. so hard to marvelous forwards. I could sing a million songs about it and barely scratch the surface of your world. This all my life was memorably waving my anthem cry, no matter what may come. And when I rise to walk the streets of heaven, I'll still be singing this song for everything that you have done.
Thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. We praise you. We're going to sing a couple of quiet songs now, just before communion. So if you prefer to sit and take the weight off your legs, that would be great. I'm all right, because I just sit here all evening.
Bible worship.
I will worship.
I will worship.
Praise. I will give you all.
chair, and up there I'm saying, this church, and it says up there, let's stop hearing heart, and I should see God. And I feel such a pureness, holiness in this place. God is keeping, and
thank you, Lord. This is the final evening service communion of 2025. It's amazing to think that, isn't it? And before we partake of this very special meal, I'm just going to invite us to pause for just a short while. And let's just reflect on the past 11 months. Let's just reflect on God's mercy, his goodness towards us. All of those answered prayers. All of those moments when you maybe were a bit low and sad, but God encouraged you or sent someone to speak to you and to lift you up. Let's just pause and reflect. And if anyone wants to just lead a prayer of thanks, feel free to do so. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. When the angel Gabriel visited Joseph in a vision to give him reassurance about the pregnancy of Mary, the angel reminded him and said, "Don't worry, Joseph, fear not. I want you to call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And as we pause now to remember the reason why Jesus came, he came with that purpose in mind, to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Are we thankful for what he done for us? We're so grateful. We're going to invite our deacons, come. We're going to prepare to serve. Feel free, one of you gents, please lead us in prayer. Thank you.
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for that enormous amount of love you have for each and every one of us. The amount of love that you sacrificed on that rugged cross for us to save us from our sins. And Lord, as we go into this meal, you showed us how to do it. Lord, your blood shed for us. Your body was broken for us. Because you love us so much and unconditionally. And Lord, we can never thank you enough.
Yes.
Lord, we can never praise you enough. Lord, we just don't know how to thank you. So Lord, we thank you now. Humble praise. Thank you. Glory to
you. Yes. Amen. Amen. On the night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, gathered around the table with his disciples for supper, he took some bread. And after giving thanks, he said to his disciples, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken and given for each of you. This do ye in remembrance of me." Amen. Church, as you are now served, what represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ that was given for us on the cross of Calvary, let's do eat as we receive it and be grateful in our hearts. Amen. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you. Amen. In like manner, he then took the cup. And he said these words, "This cup will now be the new covenant that will be sealed in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink of it. I want you to do this in remembrance of me. For as oft as we eat from the bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth and proclaim the Lord's death until that wonderful promise to us that one day Jesus Christ will make his return." Amen. As you are now served, what represents the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Please do retain your cups, and then we will drink together as one body through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Church, let's drink together the blood of the Lord Jesus shed for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you once again that through your body that was sacrificed for us on the cross of Calvary, now we can be the body of Christ. And we thank you that we are people not just of death, but we are people of the resurrection. So help us to be mindful of that truth, that each and every day we are people of the resurrection. We are born again. We have experienced that new spiritual birth. And we're now alive and alive forevermore through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. We give you thanks. Amen. Amen.
So before we ask Nathan to come back again for the sermon, we're just going to sing the song which he actually chose, All I Once Held Dear.
Knowing you, there is no grace.
is to know you more, to be found in you, and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness.
Your seats. Thank you so much, Ian and the worship team, for leading us in worship this evening. And good evening to you all once again. Very good to see you all out this evening. God bless you all. Well, we have arrived now at the conclusion of our seven church series. We have been looking at the seven churches in the book of Revelation, the seven churches of Asia Minor. And over the course of this year, we have heard from the past six sermons concerning the various churches in Asia Minor. And I just want to thank God for all of the preachers who have preached faithfully over the course of this year. Some are here this evening. Thank you so, so much for all that you have done throughout the course of this year. So we've arrived now at the final pit stop, the final church, which is the Church of Laodicea. And I'm going to be reading from Revelation chapter 3 from verse 14. And it reads like this: To the angel of the church in Laodicea write these things. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. You're neither cold or hot. And then Jesus goes on to say, I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Wow. You say, this is to the church, he says, you say that I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. And our final verse, verse 22, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Just want to come back again for our key verse for consideration this evening, verse number 16. So because you are lukewarm, can you say lukewarm with me? Lukewarm. You're neither cold or hot. Jesus says, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. I just want to briefly share with you this challenge before we leave here this evening. Are you in or are you out? Are you in or are you out? And that challenge is for me as well. Nearing the end of his earthly life, John the Apostle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was banished to a small rocky island situated near the Aegean Sea. It was about 50 miles offshore from the city of Ephesus, present-day Turkey. It was around this region of modern-day Turkey that all of these seven churches were established. And John the Apostle was banished to this island because of persecution, because his personal faith in Jesus was at odds with the Roman authorities and also the Jewish religious leaders. So there was a lot of political expediency going on here. Sounds a little bit similar to our day even now. But John, although he was banished under imprisonment, but he still had a little bit of freedom, of course, freedom to write this very book of Revelation, and also the letters that were distributed to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And it was right from the confinements of persecution and banishment to this island that he was summoned by Jesus in a vision, as he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, to pick up his quill and parchments and to write down the things that the Lord Jesus wanted to share with his church. Write down what I tell you, John. And I want you to tell these seven churches. I'm going to give them an autopsy report. I'm going to give them an appraisal of how they are doing as churches in my name. So John did as Jesus had instructed, and he penned down all the things that Jesus wanted to share with his churches. And over the course of this year, we have heard from our preaching team, and they have done a wonderful job, haven't they, in sharing about some of the good points of these churches, some of the not so good points of these churches, and some of the challenges from Jesus, challenging these churches to turn and to repent and to get back on the right path. So important that even in our walks with the Lord today, there are times that Jesus will want to get our attention. He will want us to stop, to assess where we're going. Because if we're not careful, we can just be so busy, caught up with life, just going and going and doing, that we may even lose sight, even as a church, and get knocked off of doing the right things that God has called us to do. So as John writes to this final church on our pit stop this evening, the church of Laodicea, what can we learn from the challenge that Jesus shares with this church? Well, number one, what we see about this church, friends, is that they were a financially wealthy church. The church resided in a city that was very, very wealthy. But Jesus lets us know, although the Laodicean region was very wealthy, They were spiritually poor. Yes, they had material possessions. Yes, this region was a business commerce, and they had a lot of wealth, and trade was bustling with business. But yet still, Jesus says, church, you are spiritually poor. Despite their impressive wealth, they were the wealthiest city in all of the seven churches mentioned here. But Jesus says, church, you are in a poor spiritual condition. I've often just been puzzled, as we all have, I'm sure, throughout this life, that seemingly those who are rich and wealthy, not all, but we see so many who are extremely wealthy, those who are famous, and everyone knows their name, and they live in the beautiful houses. They have ample cars to drive. They can go out Monday, Tuesday, and make a different choice each day. But yet still, there seems to be something missing within. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying here to the church of Laodicea. Yes, you have wealth, but internally, there's something missing. So number one, they were in a poor spiritual condition. But number two, Jesus says, their walks with the Lord had become lukewarm. Their walks, their journey with the Lord had become stale. Now let me ask you a question this evening. Who here loves a nice cup of tea? I see some hands. Now I want you to speak back to me. How do you like your tea? Tell me. Hot. Strong. Anyone like milk? Oat milk. All right. One sugar, two sugars? No. Just honey? Yuck. Honey. Dear of me. We all have our way of drinking our tea that's right for us. But I guarantee you, or maybe there is someone here, but we'll see. Does anyone like their tea lukewarm?
No.
Yuck. It would be better if it was cold. But lukewarm just doesn't make sense. Oftentimes, that's why I don't really drink much tea here at the church anymore, because it doesn't make sense, because I get talking to so many different people, but by the time I get to drinking it, it's cold or lukewarm. And there's some talented people in this church, because they're able to talk and drink at the same time. I haven't gathered that. Yeah, I need to work on the multitasking. But Jesus had a problem with this lukewarm spiritual condition. Then he goes on to say, it were better if you were cold or hot. And he says, because of your lukewarm state, I'm going to spit you out. As almost if it was repulsive to him. That is an alarming challenge, even for us today. If we're not careful, we can just slumber into lethargy and complacency in our walks with the Lord. Even for us who have been serving the Lord for a long time, for many years, if we're not careful, things can get a little bit stagnant. That's why it's incumbent upon us, it's important for us to keep that oil burning, to keep that fire going in our souls. Because God wants us not just to have a stale relationship with him, a stagnant relationship with him, but he wants us to have a vibrant relationship with him. He wants us to be hot, on fire. We often remark, don't we? We want to be on fire for Jesus. We know what we mean. We want to be on fire, passionate. ready to do what he wants us to do. And it's interesting, I've done some research about this particular region. And I found out that although they were an extremely wealthy region, the wealthiest region of all of the other churches in Turkey, but although they were wealthy, they had a water issue. They had this water problem that they had to make sure that they had some contingencies in place. They had what's called an adduct to transport the water into the region. Aqueduct, thank you. Aqueduct, did I say adduct? I'm sorry, aqueduct, that's right, thank you. Aqueduct. Although they were wealthy, they needed the assistance of the aqueduct so that they could get water. But what I found out, although they had the aqueduct to help them with the water, whenever the water would make its way into the region, the water came in at a very lukewarm temperature. So it was difficult for them to consume at that temperature. So Jesus says, just like the water problem that they were having in their region, Jesus says, in your spiritual lives, you have become lukewarm. And maybe we're here today, and at the conclusion of this year, could it be that our relationship with Jesus has become a little bit lukewarm? So how does this church in Laodicea apply to our lives today? Like the church in the first century, have we become too reliant on our material possessions? Are they taking the place of that number one spot in our lives? There's a story of a church around Christmas time that were decorating the church with all of the decorations for Christmas. They put a lovely, beautiful tree at the front entrance of the church so that people, just like we have with the glass doors, on the high street, could walk past and see the beautiful tree with all the lights on. And they put lovely gifts around the tree and wrapped them meticulously, and they were beautiful. They looked amazing so that all could see on the outside. But little did the petty thieves know on the outside that the gifts that were wrapped under the tree, that there was nothing in them. So the petty thieves broke into the church to take the gifts under the tree of the church. They had broke into the church only to discover that it was all a big waste of time. There was nothing inside of those presents. And I thought about that. Could it be that we may look beautiful on the outside? Could it be that aesthetically we're all in place? Could it be that we've got all the ribbons and all the lovely clothing and we're shining on the outside and we've got the smile and everything looks great? But could it be that when you do some inspection on the inside, that something's not right? That there's a disconnect? It requires attention. And that's exactly what Jesus wanted the church to know. You don't have to remain in this lukewarm condition. You can do something about it. And likewise, if we ever find ourselves in this condition, we don't have to remain in a lukewarm condition. Throw the tea away and put the kettle on. Boil you a fresh cup of tea. And let it be hot, let it be tasty, and you can enjoy it. So don't remain in that condition. Jesus is ready and willing for us, as he says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and I am knocking. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come in eat with that person and they with me. So in closing, I just want to lift a few points here. Maybe just for us to reflect on and assess within our own hearts, have we become a little bit lukewarm? And if we have, the good news is we can do something about it. We don't have to go into a new year with a lukewarm condition. We can sort it out even now. And we can get back on fire for the Lord. We may be slumbering into a lukewarm condition if, number one, we realize that we no longer have a hunger for God. Our hunger and our desire for God has waned. In Matthew 5, 6, Jesus said that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We need to have an internal hunger and desire for Jesus. It's got to come from within. And sometimes because we've replaced that hunger for the things of this world, then Jesus is squashed out because there's too much clutter in the way. So number one, because there's a lack of hunger for God. Number two, we may be slumbering into a lukewarm condition because we compromise with sin. Instead of running away from sin, we now become drawn and enticed to sin. And we may even come up with excuses like, it's not that bad. God understands. It's okay. But 1 John 3:9 makes it very clear and plain. John says, no one born of God makes a habit of sinning. We have to be very cognizant, and we have to be very ready to deal with those sins in our lives. Bring them to God and allow Him to minister to us to deal with those areas of sin. We all have them, don't we? But Jesus is willing. We're not going to hold on tightly to it and say, Jesus, you can have these areas of my life, but I want to hold back this area. We've got to offer all to Him. Number three, we may become lukewarm because we blend in with the world. James 4:4 indicates that being friends with the world means we are enemies of God. That is very, very deep. And especially in this modern time, I think as Christians, we can become a little bit challenged because we want to help in the world, and we should, and we want to come alongside people. But although we should strive to come alongside people in the world, we have to make sure that there is a clear line of demarcation. We cannot indulge with everything that the world offers and just put it under the guise of we're trying to win the lost. No. Jesus expects of us that there is a clear difference between light and darkness, between the world and Jesus. But number four, not only do we blend in with the world, but number four, we may become lukewarm because we live our lives without prayer, consistent devotion in prayer to God. We no longer value His presence anymore. I discovered, as I was thinking even about my own daughter, Alessia, just this morning someone asked me about Alessia and asked how she was doing and asked how old she is now. And I said, for some reason, I think I forgot how many weeks she is now. So I said 8 and a bit weeks. And when I got home and I said to Anna, now, someone asked at church today how old Alessia is. And you know, my mind went back. How old is Alessia? I said, what, 8 weeks? Alessia's 11, nearly 12 weeks. I said, what do you mean? How did I get that so wrong? Where's the time gone? What's going on? And I realized, so I was convicted. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we can become so preoccupied with other things. And I got my way, even of my own dad. Great dad, love him to bits. But sometimes his presence, he wasn't always there because he put other things, and even the church. And I was challenged even then, I've got to make sure that I don't even put the church above my role as father to Alessia. Can't be so busy and preoccupied with ministry that I forsake and neglect my own daughter, Alessia. And so it is with prayer. We have to be careful that we talk to everyone else. We make time for everything else in our lives, but we don't make time to communicate with our Father, which is in heaven. We've got to have that constant communication with him. He longs to hear us. He longs to have communion with us. And if we don't have a consistent life of prayer, then just like how I missed out on a few weeks for Alessia, we will miss out on that vibrant relationship with God. Here's another one. We may become lukewarm because we are content without bearing fruit. We become content not bearing any fruit for Jesus. As disciples, we are called to be fruit bearers. Not just to live our Christian lives in a lull, but Jesus wants us to go and make disciples of all nations. We all have a responsibility to share the light and the love of Jesus. We all have a responsibility to give an answer to the hope that we have within us. It's not just for the selective few. It's not just for the evangelism committee, but we're all on the evangelism committee. We're all saved with a purpose to make disciples. Number six, because we may have lost our first love. That was what happened to the church in Ephesus. We've replaced our first love with something else. And finally, we've become comfortable with half commitment. So these are just some reasons as to why we can become lukewarm, lethargic. But the good news is, Jesus is calling us that it's time to get hot for him. It's time to boil the kettle. It's time to be on fire for him. In closing, I read these final verses of Revelation chapter 3. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the challenge in your word, that you desire not for us to become lethargic. You desire not for us to become lukewarm, because you will spew us out of your mouth. That you desire for us to have a vibrant relationship with you, to be on fire for Jesus Christ. Lord, would you help us? Would you forgive us? At times throughout the course of this year where we became lukewarm, would you forgive us? We thank you, as you said in your word, that if we would turn to you, then you will be willing to receive us. If we have that spiritual ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, we don't have to remain in a state that is not pleasant to your taste. So, Father, as we draw this year to a close shortly, if there are some things that you want us to deal with, if there are some things, some baggage, some spiritual baggage that we need to deal with before we go into a new year, would you give us the boldness and the courage to deal with them, Lord? You want us to go into a new year without that added baggage and on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us to bear fruit. Help us to have a vibrant prayer life. Help us to fall in love again with studying your word and allowing your presence just to permeate our everyday lives. So we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The worship team are coming back as we draw the service to a close.
So, while the most important people in the church leave to go and boil the kettles, make sure our tea is nice and hot, The rest of us are going to sing the final hymn, Guide Me Over That Great Jehovah. So perhaps you stand and belt this one out, because this is a wonderful hymn.
First and last verse.
Yep.
First and last, okay. Oh.
we give you our praise. Angels in light with worship surround him. Jesus our Savior, forever the same.
There's another one here on the stage. Another glass for you, young man. That was just down there. Cheers, thanks.